Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, the Most High God, loved ones. As always, it is a privilege and pleasure to be in fellowship this Sabbath, corresponding with March the 4th, 2017. What an honor and a privilege. Can I say it enough that God is worthy? He's worthy to sit on the throne and be the Most High, and for that matter, worthy of all praise and all honor and all glory. I'm so grateful through his only begotten and beloved, wonderful Son, Yeshua the Messiah, who shed his life for you and I, that we may have eternal life with the Father in his kingdom to come. Saved us, shed his blood indeed. And I am so grateful for his perfect obedience to the will of the Father, accepting it as his own, even saying, not my will, but your will be done, the will of the Father. He led by example. And I certainly want to follow in that example, because that example is wherein lies our salvation. It's just as simple as that. So from God our Father and the Son, Yeshua the Messiah, I greet you. I say peace and grace be unto you in the name of the Lord, Yeshua the Messiah. As we come together as believers in the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah, of the godly character, the righteousness that he esteemed, we believe it to be to our own advantage. We believe it to be a character that is worked out, that is a livelihood, if you will. True believers in Yeshua do not believe for one second grace is intended for them to sin more. The grace is intended to help us to stay away from sin. Righteousness needs to abound in us. That's what the grace works against sin. Grace is the adversary of sin. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. That means to put the sin into subjection, that the grace and the characteristics of it and its goodness and righteousness and holiness can abound in us and change our sinful character to now a godly character. That's what grace is about. The world has it sadly mistaken. And I say the Christian world, for that matter, this religious Christian world has it sadly mistaken that grace gives them a license to sin. It's not what Yah intended. And there are dire consequences for abusing grace in that form. So, you know, I just want us to be encouraged, because there is a lot of discouragement round about us. I want us to be edified, built up, because there's a lot of tearing down of character and tearing down of the righteous order of Yah and for those that are in this order. So I want us to be encouraged. You know, I want us to be edified and built up. I want us to be empowered. People are feeling hopeless and powerless against the rudiments and the things of this world. And this is not how we ought to feel, you know. So I want us to be enlightened, people walking in darkness. And they don't even know it. People have lost any type of intellect for what is right and what is wrong, what is godly and what is ungodly, what is holy and what is profane. So I want us to be enlightened as children of the Almighty Most High God, Yah, to know these things and to make good our fellowship with one another, to make it effective so that we can be our brother and our sister's keeper. We do encourage one another. We are there for one another. And it's a blessing in the respect that I take interest in your soul. You take an interest in my soul. We are investing in one another's soul so that we can be together in eternity with the Most High. We don't speak these truths, or the truth, should I say, a lot of truths, but we don't speak the truth to be malicious, even though the truth can hurt. The truth can cut. You know, the truth discomforts. You know, when people are living a lie, and the lie and sin, and you speak the truth, it's not a good thing, a good feeling for them. And it is such that the truth is now considered hate speech. Hate speech used to be evil, malicious speaking that would prompt or encourage someone to physically harm and hurt another, to demean a people to the detriment of lynching, beatings, and shootings, particularly against black people or people of color. It was reserved for races. They had hate speech. They inflamed one another to take action, to be abusive, to be violent against the people that they felt was inferior and lower than them. That is the root of hate speech, to incite, at least in these modern times or American times. But that was hate speech. But now it has been redefined that when you speak the truth, and the truth exposes sin that is contrary to Yah's word, then you're considered speaking hate. When you speak against homosexuality, when you speak against unjust wars, when you speak against corruptness and politics and all of these entities that the government is over, when you teach in truth and you want to be wholesome, and you, the list can go on. And this is why we're going to talk about a sinner's paradise. Because it is in existence right now. And it is a very real place. The ideal and the imagination is very real. It is brought into reality. It's no longer just an ideal or just an imagination. This thing is real in a sinner's paradise. And this is where we are. And we got to deal with it, you know. But it behooves us to know that we are in this place, and so that we can be delivered, and so that we can have a full understanding to be able to discern. And like what I said earlier, to discern from right and wrong, from holy and unholy, and these type of things. You know, so in this a sinner's paradise, we deal with the sin first, the sinner. We break it down, the sinner, a person who sins, someone who has done wrong or something wrong according to, in this context, I'm going to say biblical laws with respect to the scriptures, who have done wrong according to biblical laws and commandments, statutes and precepts, is someone who has sinned. Sin is the transgression of Yah's law. That's what it is. That is what we are taught out of the scriptures, that it is the transgression. And so a sinner transgresses Yah's law. A sinner is far different than a criminal. A criminal, quite honestly, the standard, it don't take much to be a criminal. That's in the authority and jurisdiction of the world. You know what I'm saying? But a sinner is in the jurisdiction of Yah as a whole with respect to his laws governing the universe. So you can actually be a criminal and not be a sinner. But if you are a sinner, you are a criminal as well, because generally sin goes against the even laws of the land. You know, it is a sin to murder. So you have double consequences. When you murder, you have to deal with God Yah, and then you have to deal with the law of the land. And for that matter, you can, as a righteous man of God, you can be considered a sinner, or excuse me, considered a criminal, and be totally innocent of what you accused in a crime. They have done that all times as to black people, particularly black men, such that our mere appearance give off to most people that have been indoctrinated by the Caucasians stereotype of us. We are criminals such that we have to prove ourselves innocent first. It's no longer it's not with us innocent until proven guilty. Innocent until proven guilty don't work for black folks, and particularly the black man. He is seen as a criminal. He is seen as guilty first and foremost, and then he has to prove his innocence. So that's what I mean, that you can be a criminal but not a sinner, because it depends on the hands of the authority, or the authority whose hands you're in. They can make up and trump charges on you. They got many innocent people in jails right now. But they are righteous in the eyesight of the Lord if indeed they're innocent and they endure with faith in Yeshua the Messiah. Their charge won't stick, and it doesn't in heaven, though they're wrongfully convicted and serving time. That's just a little bit of the sinner and the comparison between the sinner and the criminal in man's jurisdiction and Yah's jurisdiction. But paradise, it comes from an Iranian word that the Greeks modified, and its meaning is enclosed park. And the word, I believe, if I'm pronouncing it right, would be paradisos, and it's an enclosed park. But it's a very beautiful, pleasant, or peaceful place. This is what paradise is, that seems to be perfect. A place that is perfect for a particular activity, for a person who enjoys that activity. And it is a state of complete happiness. So we have in this paradise, a sinner's paradise, that it is whatever satisfies you. We are indoctrinated in America to believe that we are free and that we are independent. And so that in this freedom, we can do whatever we want to do, what is pleasing to us in our flesh. The license has been given in America to be what you want to be, to do what you want to do, you know, to dream big. This is American doctrine. This is the ideal of America. And in this, it creates an atmosphere and an environment to where I come up with a sinner's paradise, a sanctuary for sinners. They don't want you to be a criminal because they have jurisdiction over the world, if you will, and their jurisdiction and authority, they have a code of regulations and laws that they want people to abide by, to have what's considered a civil and an orderly society, to be governed. So they have these laws, and these laws are nothing but a counter or a reflection of the biblical laws and principles that Yah has for his people, and for those to come into the kingdom to govern them as citizens of heaven. So And these United States, these men in high places, made these laws and have a civil society. And for that matter, as I say, they don't want you to be criminal, but they don't mind if you be a sinner. They don't mind if you go against Yah. It is established in this culture and society. It don't matter that you go against the Most High God. For in this world, under the influence of Satan, our nation America, it has put in itself in the position of God, in the authority of God, the rulership and dominion, not acknowledging that for the season, for the times of the Gentiles that are at hand, and it is only for a time that Yah has given them to be the rulers and to be the dominion and authority of the world. It is only for a time, and the time that Yah has allowed them to be in such position was a time that would be in their best interest to come to Yeshua the Messiah, to repent of the Gentile ways and customs that are natural in a sense of disorder, that are natural in the sense of rebellion, that are natural in the likeness of the first Adam. But Yah has opened the doorway up for them to come in to the last Adam, Yeshua the Messiah, and change that behavior and come in accordance with the prescription under the precepts and laws and government that he had for his people Israel, that they will be a peculiar people. And he had made promises, good promises, not the type of promises that Donald Trump has made, not the type of promises that Barack Obama has made, not the type of promises that George Bush and every other president that was before them, and every governor and every politician. God did not make those type of promises, but he made promises that he can fulfill that is in the best interest of the people, because Yah is not seeking to be put into office. He is the office. He is the creator of the office. He don't have to deceive people and get a vote, a majority of vote in these different things. So in that, the Gentiles, you know, we come to understand that in this, the Gentiles have created an atmosphere and an environment where sin abounds. America is a place where sin abounds. And in sin abounding, that means that lawlessness abounds, iniquity abounds. You know, a sinner's paradise, when you look at it for what it is, and you really see it in its totality, and not just look at the media, or look at it, don't look at it from the entertainment perspective, but you look at it from the world perspective, or even more so, I'm back up off that, look at it from a biblical perspective. When you look at it from a biblical perspective, when you look at the world perspective, when you look at America's perspective from a biblical perspective, that you see this paradise is really hell on earth. It is the hell on earth. Man, I tell you, this nation America, it is one great big amusement park. And when you think of amusement park, a commercially operated park, and they have various devices for entertainment and, booths and all these different things for selling food and drink and people just having fun and being merry, you know. That's what America represents. You know, America is the gateway. Listen to this, because we're in sinner's paradise. When you can do what you want to do, how you want to do it, with no conscience of shame, with no conviction whatsoever, and doing things that not only go against natural order, that nature even teaches us, but do things that go against your Creator's order with respect to biblical order. If you didn't understand the biblical order and you had no knowledge about it, nature still can give a person some common sense about what is right, what is wrong, what is natural, and what is unnatural. But the spirit of this nation and this paradise that we are in, and it is all a facade, is a dream. You know, when Disney said, where dreams come true, this man in his Gentile era that created this paradise, he is in a dream. He is spiritually unconscious. Spiritually unconscious. And the sad thing about it is the rude awakening that is going to take for him to come to know that his dreams and his ideals and the aspirations was displeasing to the Creator, the Most High God, Yah. The ideal of freedom and liberty, independence, was just an ideal. It was just a dream. But the reality, when I gave you the license to sin against your Creator and against your God, but I did not give you a license to commit a crime against my government that I am over in my rulership and authority, I don't license you to come against me in the government, but you can have all license to come against Yah and even the universe. Because even the universe speak of the glory of Yah, and it's in perfect order. The sun is not clashing with the moon. Stars are not out of order in the sky. And even the animals are doing what they were made to do respectively. That predator of a beast, his nature is to kill. Prey, his nature is to run from being killed. His nature, when he knows that prey, when it knows that it is in predator territory, that's when it is most alert. It won't eat in complacency. It is always paying attention because they know that the predator is subject to come out of nowhere. And they have a better chance if they're looking and paying attention while enjoying the dainties of where they are, eating and resting. And quite honestly, they really can't rest because they know that there is a predator out there that wants to eat them. And if only we had the common sense of animals that in this world, though the ideal may blur and make it seem unreal that we have a formidable enemy out there who addresses himself as an angel of light, and in appearances dealing with people and in places and dealing with things. But the truth of the matter, all of that is a facade. We're dealing with a real enemy out there who wants to kill us, who wants to devour us. He is as a roaring lion, a roaring lion. He wants to destroy souls. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And people are enjoying the pleasures of this world with no conscience, with no sense of awareness of the imminent danger and destruction that we are in as a nation. That God is not playing. He is mad with the wicked every day. And the only reason he allowed the Gentiles, which in this damn time, if you've heard my previous message, it is the European Caucasian Christian people. They are in dominion, power, authority, and rulership. They run the world. They're running this world. They are ruling this world. And then even more so, they are ruining this world. They talk about radical Islamic terrorists. But I'm going to tell you, a radical racist Christian Caucasian man is the worst terrorist on the planet. A radical racist Caucasian Christian is the world, is the earth most notorious terrorist. The state of the world in chaos and havoc is by the policies, is by the actions of the European people that have sought to go about causing havoc in all the places of the earth in order that they can have a so-called sense of peace and power and prosperity. That's what's happening. But if you listen to the media and you listen to their agents of their own kind, then you thinking that Arabs, radical Islam Muslims, you thinking and you believe that them folks are who you need to be concerned about. And those folks don't make your policies to make you homeless, to deny you fair hearings in courts or justice. And these sort of things. They don't have nothing to do with the police brutality. They don't have nothing to do with the racism that is the fabric of this culture here in America. But yet, these people, certain of the Gentile, Caucasian, European man, is very skilled at taking the attention off of them and their evil and making you focus on others that are not an evil to you, and that's not the threat to you as they are. They don't want to be seen as being threatening. They don't want to be seen as vicious and violent. But their actions show differently. They have a way of dressing wickedness and evil that they do that is quite astounding. And then the hypocrisy that they would expose other people that do the same thing that they've done, to a lesser degree, but they make examples out of them to continue to push their agenda. So a sinner's paradise. America is a sinner's paradise. You know, a gateway to hell. It is broad, and many there are that be in it. You know, I think of the Statue of Liberty, and I say this, say it again, the Statue of Liberty is the image of a transgender, if you really look at it. See, we must understand America has been set up for destruction. Everything is going according to plan. Yah opened the door for the Gentiles, but he is only a select few of the Gentiles that's going to come into the knowledge of the truth. And in coming to it, they're going to have to deny their white privilege, deny the white power, and deny the white supremacy. And they're going to have to align themselves with the children of Yah, with the true Hebrew Israelites, in the best interest alone, not involve any more in any other interest. Associate our plight. Don't associate our plight amongst the things that Yah still hate and it is detestable to him. Meaning that if you're fighting for the cause of black people here in America, Judah here in America, for the injustices, the unfairness and the brutalities and all of these issues of life that we have to deal with, if you're taking interest in that, let it be in that alone. Don't associate sodomite agenda. Don't associate us with the sexual perversion of the homosexuals and group us all into one. You have to understand, if you're going to be in interest with us, then you have to love what y'all love and hate what he hates. But if you're going to be in interest with us and you're going to still bring into the things that y'all hate with respect to sexual perversion, sexual deviation and all manners of immorality, then you're not helping us. You're hurting us, and you're part of the system that is the white supremacy, white privilege, and white power. You're still a part of the system. You are a spiritual enemy, if not a natural enemy. The only way you can be a friend is you're going to have to keep the righteousness that Yah has gave to us, his people, and don't promote anything other. Don't advertise, don't market anything else other. That's where that Gentile will be saved, in that work, offering his life unto Yeshua the Messiah. For that matter, a true Gentile has to come out of Christianity. The true Gentile that's going to be saved has to come out the religion of Christianity, have to acknowledge that it is the religion of Satan. It is a satanic religion. So with that being said, I want to get into the topic because we have to show and prove this environment of a sinner's paradise. Of a sinner's paradise. And I go to, in this respect, 1 John chapter 2, 16. This is my foundation scripture. In 1 John 2, 16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is of the world. And when we see these things in the world, if we see a ruling party that governs the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and they have established it, and it is the basis for their society, we understand that these are the things that are conducive to a sinner's paradise. And Yah's paradise to come, when Adam was in the Garden of Eden, that was paradise. But it was sin-free. It was a place of joy and peace until Adam sinned. Then it was no longer paradise that Yah had created. It had become Satan's paradise. In America, and I'm fast forwarding, America is the culmination. See, everything that Satan had tried to establish from Genesis with the Tower of Babel, if you will, he kept at it. He kept at it at work. But it wasn't. He wasn't going to have the opportunity to make it in its fullness until Yeshua the Messiah come, and the name that is given to the Gentiles to glorify Yah. He was not going to be successful in getting his kingdom to come, that is the epitome of all the kingdoms that had ever been before that. That opportunity was not afforded Satan until Yeshua the Messiah came. And when he realized that he could not beat them, when they persecuted the saints, they called them Christians in mocking them. It was not a term of endearment, and those that were called Christians did not embrace that term. They were insulted to be called Christians because the Gentiles were making fun of them. They didn't want to be made fun of. So in that, Satan came up with a different strategy, and it was the most effective. It was the better strategy than anything he had ever had, because now he had this name that has so much honor and has so much nobility and power in it that he can take a people and deceive them, and they can use that name, and then they can build his kingdom that Yah had already prophesied it was going to do. So this is not a secret, or this is not a surprise to Yah, but he took and he built on the name of Yah, and that's what the Gentiles did. And that's why I told you last week, he couldn't use Muhammad and Islam. He couldn't use Buddha and Buddhists and Hindus. it had not been prophesied that that name would be given to them, and that the power of the name and the glory of the name would be given to them. There's only one name under heaven wherein lies salvation. There's no name greater than the name of Yeshua the Messiah that cast out demons and devils, raised the dead. All types of miracles was done in his name, let alone his person when he walked on this earth. But the apostles used his name to continue the same miracles that had never been done. No religion, no man, no prophet other than the true prophets of Yah. I know Elijah raised a child from the dead, and other apostles had that power if Yah determined. But outside of the Hebrew people and what was given to them, there was not another people on the planet that had the power to raise the dead, only Yah's Hebrew people. It simplified, he is the true and living God. Only his people had that ability. So that was the name that was fitting for Satan. That's when Satan was able to re-strategize and realize, wow, I can do it now. I can finally come into my own, and America is the end result. Sinner's paradise. Do what you will under the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Sin all you want. So in this, the lust of the flesh, it is something in the lust of the, you know, lust in all its forms is insatiable. We must understand that it is insatiable. It cannot be fulfilled. It's ever going. So when we deal with the lust of the flesh, we deal with the pleasures of sin. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, 25, Yah told us that his servants did not enjoy the pleasures of sin. You know, when you are sincere, faithful and loyal in your allegiance to Yah, you be as Moses, who was in Pharaoh's house. And Moses chose rather the affliction with the people of Yah rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for even a season. But see, in Satan's paradise, the pleasures of sin is embraced. It is, when you think of the definition of pleasure, you know, to delight, to enjoy a pleasing feeling, the feeling of happiness or satisfaction, you know, activity that is done for enjoyment. This is what it is when you have an unregenerated mind. Then you enjoy the pleasures of sin. You enjoy the pleasures of sin, which is of the flesh, you know, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know, whatever makes you feel good in your flesh, you enjoy that. Timothy was admonished that Paul spoke to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 4. Since I say Sabbath scripture studies, it's only right that I call these scriptures and bring them out so that you can check them out for yourself. But Paul, he was letting us know of the coming apostasy in the last days and the challenging, difficult times we were being. And he admonished and he told Timothy, you know, with respect to the pleasures of sin, he, in verse 4, 2 Timothy 3 and 4, he begins to say, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You love pleasure rather than loving God, and that's what the lust of the flesh is. And it cannot be fulfilled. You look at all the sexual perversion, you know, the sodomites, the homosexual agenda, and they're pushing it strong now. You know, this so-called transgender that's going on. You know, God created them to be the gender that they were born, but they had the audacity to go to man to recreate themselves to be a gender other than what Yah created and birthed them into this world to be, and they had no fear, and they're flaunting it. And it's being promoted, it's being distributed, it's being marketed, it's being advertised that this agenda, it is strong, and it is Satan's attempt to separate the people of Yah further and further from Yah's reach till they get so far that he cannot save them. They get so far that he got to judge. He got to destroy them. Yah made it very clear it's the sin that separated. His arm is not too short. His hand is not too short that he can't grab and deliver, but the sin. It is the sin that separate Yah's people. Now, this devil understands this in his paradise, and it is a doctrine in his paradise to people separated from Yah in order that Yah cannot reach out to them because they're exercising their will, and in their will, they made it very clear that they don't want Yah. They made a determination. But once again, even going to Isaiah chapter 59, when it said, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins had hid his face from you that he will not hear. And Satan understands that such that the homosexual agenda is intent is to separate the people from God, that he cannot hear them, that he don't even want to touch them, and that he reserve them for the same punishment that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah for the same behavior as a culture, as a nation of people with the sexual abomination, a man with another man, a man dressing up as a woman, changing his gender, his sex, cutting off his private part that he can have a woman's private part, and then a woman sewing up her private part that he can have a man's private part, this sexual deviation. And they don't see nothing wrong with it in Satan's paradise. Satan's paradise is lawlessness. Lawlessness against the laws, commandments, statutes, the precepts of the Most High God, Yah. Satan's paradise citizens are a most rebellious and most stubborn people, and they are religiously justified because of the false religion that is through Christianity. And I say Christianity particularly because they can't go to a Muslim country amongst Muslims and live this type of unnatural, detestable, abominable way of life. I don't care to hear what you criticism of Muslim and how they treat or mistreat women. That's not the point in this context of what I'm saying. They have enough common sense to know that a man being with another man is not healthy for the culture, for the society, for the longevity of humanity, their families, of their heritage, of their legacy. They have enough common sense to know that they cannot, as a government, as a religious body as well, market that, distribute that, advertise that, and promote that. No culture, no society can sustain itself in that wickedness. You are calling upon the quick wrath and destruction of Yah. But that's the lust of the flesh. Uncleanness, meaning sexual impurity. You know, lasciviousness, sexual excess. These are the lust of the flesh. See, Satan does everything opposite of Yah. What Yah had promised to his people, Satan wants the people to have, and unfortunately, because the people have been deceived, particularly the Gentiles, because this paradise belongs to them, and they are the sinners unlike any other. They are in need of a Savior more than any other people, but they don't understand this because of the self-righteousness. But we'll get into that because that's another part of the sinner's paradise. But in this, Job said, they obey and serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. This is Job 36:11. In the book of Job, it mentions this. The book of Job mentions, if they obey and serve him, and to him is the Most High God, Yah. They shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. See, Satan's doctrine steals from Yah's holy scriptures. That's what his doctrine is. So his doctrine is like the wheat and the tares. It looks good when you read it, but it don't produce the same behavior, the same results. So, you know, the ideal of being free and independent, the ideal of dreaming, that sounds good. It looks good on paper. But when you take up this doctrine, then you see the behavior, you see the conduct, you see society in the havoc and in wretchedness and much evil and wickedness. It lets you know that the doctrine, the spirit of it, is unto death. The wages of sin is death. When we work and we labor for the love of sin, the result is death. You're dying spiritually and you're waiting a second death, which casts Satan, his angels, and all who follow him in these abominations and these detestable things into the lake of fire. Yes, you do. So the sodomites, the homosexual agenda, they're pushing it strong, and particularly in the black community. I mean, they have one mind to demasculinate that black man. They have always, Caucasians and their racism have always found black men to be a threat to them. And in their inferiority, they took on this racist spirit that gave them the idea that they are superior. And they go over and beyond measure to compensate for the fear and the inferiority. This is where the racism and the abuse against black men in particular comes out of. When they do abuse us, it goes so deep into them. The excess of their abuse is a result of the excess of their fear that they have to go over and beyond. So this demasculination of black men that is spearheaded through Hollywood, this is why they can let a movie Moonlight win Best Picture. See, these folks have no credibility because they had no standard. And they ungodly and they Satan. So I don't see why people aspire to get that idol of an image of a man, which is idolatry, and our people should have no dealing with it. And we should already know that anything coming out of Hollywood is profane. It has no credibility. It has no true value. But our people love to have it. And they get off into that idolatry and the pleasures. Because this is Satan's paradise. Sin runs rampant. It's pleasing. It's enticing. I had my fill of sin. Sin is wonderful, if you will. Sin feels so good. And it's so good not to be conscious of it. It's so good to get drunk and to womanize and carouse. It's so good, if you will, to just, you know, indulge yourself in sexual pleasures, indulge yourself in gluttony, you know, eat how you want to eat or eat whatever you want to eat and can't get enough. I mean, that stuff feels good, but it's to the flesh. I never tell that lie that this world has nothing to offer. This world has a lot to offer, but it's in exchange for your soul. You got to have the mind of the Messiah to not enjoy the pleasures of this world, because they have perfected this thing to science, and it is very pleasing to the flesh, the lust of the flesh. And when you fulfill that lust and accepting it and then let it gratify you, that feels good, but it's to the flesh, and there's a consequence called death behind it. It's damnation. We can't stay in that state. That's why I'm so grateful that Yah changed my mind and gave me the mind of Yeshua the Messiah, so I don't indulge in the pleasures of the flesh unless they are in biblical, in Yah's proper order. If I'm going to be sexually active, I want to be sexually active with my wife. I don't want to be in bed with strange women. And I don't want to be a strange man in a bed with a woman for that matter, being a stranger to her. It's a mutual thought. I don't take pleasure in that. I don't take pleasure in gluttony. I don't take pleasures in the things of the flesh because they're vain and they're vile and they're foul. And the pleasure of the flesh is just like the waste that come out the body. Become spiritual, you know that it stink like the waste that comes out the body. It's nothing good in the pleasure of the flesh outside of what Yah provided for us. But the pleasure of the flesh that this sinner's paradise provide, that the government sanctioned here in America to do as thy will, that's a stench. That's worse than the waste of the body. It is worse than dead body. And a dead body is the worst smell on the planet, I have to believe. But they're spiritually dead. And they don't know that no matter how much perfume and how much high-priced clothing and makeup and all that they put on, they're still wretched and they're poor. They're still foul and stink. The world don't know this. Homosexuals are probably some of the most cleanest people in the world, and they don't understand that how profane they still are. The richest people in the world are the most perverted people in the world. Celebrities, they're filthy. The general public can see their personal and private life. They'll fall out. They're filthy. They're nasty. The orgies and the parties and the things that they indulge in, and people aspire to be like them and esteem them and put them on a pedestal. And these are some of the most profane, perverted, filthy, and nastiest of people. Celebrities, entertainers, people in high places. They're rich. Pleasure of the flesh. You don't want to indulge in the pleasure of the flesh. But in contrary to Yah's word and what he promised, when you come into him, he will give you those things. He will prosper you and enjoy that pleasure, but it'll be in holiness and righteousness. Satan fooled the mind of the people, deceived the people that they want these things, but they want it godlessly, or they want it without God, should I say. They prefer ungodliness, and from the God of this world, they want to be in pleasure and prosperity. Then it says the lust of the eyes. This is another thing about this paradise of sinners here, or this sinner's paradise of America. It creates for the lust of the eyes. So we're not only dealing that it is a fuel, it is everything that's needed to fuel the lust of the flesh, but the lust of the eyes. So you had the greed, you had the jealousy, you had the envy, you had the materialism. These are the lust of the eyes. You know, you see it, the lust of the eyes, they just feed it to us, you know, on television and what they call commercials, you know, on billboards, you know, just giving the lifestyles of the rich and famous, you know, and then showing real TV and showing these entertainers, these servants of Satan that are celebrities, that are entertainers, that are conduits or agents of Satan, and they show their lifestyle on camera. They don't go into the depravity of them, the debauchery of them. And then what it does is it fuels the lust of the eyes. And so the people see this. They see the entertainment. And even the ears act as eyes because you hear it as well. So you're seeing this stuff. You're hearing this stuff. And you just desire it. And it's just increasing your lust. And you want it more and more. And now your life is bent on living to acquire the things of this world. This is Satan's paradise. The sinner's paradise. This is what it is made up of, materialism. Just seeing it, and they got it down to a science. This, when you see these commercials and these billboards, and it's being promoted, it's being marketed, it's being advertised, people are being bombarded in their gateway to their soul. Your eyes is the gate to your soul. So when you open that gate and you let all these spirits come into your soul, there's no way your soul going to be saved. With the lust of the flesh, the flood, the lust of the eyes, with the flood that is coming through that gate of the soul, the eyes, and the lust with it, there's no way you're going to be saved if you stay in that. Yah has to deliver you. But when you exercise your will to disobey him and to rebel against him, his ear cannot hear, America. His hand cannot grab you, America. Your destruction is imminent, America. This sinner's paradise is destined for destruction. When they came up, I said it before, when they had that transgender Statue of Liberty, that was a setup for destruction in and of itself, let alone when they made it to these shores in rebellion against and sedition against their government and thought themselves to be righteous, seeking the kingdom of Yeshua the Messiah instead of letting it first rest within them. If they had the kingdom of Yeshua the Messiah in them, they wouldn't have never did what they did to the Native Americans. They wouldn't have never did what they did to the black America, so-called Negroes or so-called African, because we were in Africa, and we had African citizenship. Don't get me wrong, for whatever nation or whatever country in Africa we were in. But the truth of the matter that even the Africans knew, they weren't dealing with one of their own nationality. They're dealing with the Hebrews. They sold off the Hebrews. They sell off their own kind. All black people in Africa are not of the same nation. Just like all Caucasian people are not of the same nation. All Caucasian people are French. You got some Norwegians. You got some Englishmen, Irishmen, Polish. So it's the same deal. They knew who they were selling and getting rid of, but it's for our people, the true Hebrews, tribe of Judah. So this flesh, or the lust of the eyes, it is into all of that. And I made mention of the gateway, and our people have become more materialistic than probably any other people. You look at our young people and how they floss and boast on the materialism, and Satan is able to use them effectively, just like he used the homosexual agenda. He used our people also to damn one another with this materialism, and everybody just want to floss and they want to be superficial. The lust of the eyes. Satan has gotten the key to the gateway to your soul, and he's effective. Pride of life. This is the last one, the pride of life. Pride of life. You know, Timothy speaks again, you know, in 3:3-4. 2 Timothy 3:4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Traitors, heady, you know, meaning haughty, you know, reckless. Heady is reckless. You know, and then just being high-minded, haughty. And see, that's the pride of life. You know, the rich feeling successful, prosperous, lawless, feeling untouchable, being self-righteous, being religious, as a matter of fact, aspiring for titles and positions and power and authority, celebrityism, you know, wanting to receive glory and praise and adoration, want people to follow you, want people to esteem you. This is the pride of life. The devil messed up the people had in his kingdom and his sinner's paradise. And these are the things that men aspire to now, not understanding that it is a danger to their soul. For my live streamers, until next time, may the Lord continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace until salvation. Above all else, take care, loved ones, because in closing, sinner's paradise, it is filled with the lust of the flesh. It is filled with the lust of the eyes, and it is filled with the pride of life. And it gives you the license to go into them things however you will and have your fill. without conscious of any impending danger, without any God conscious, without any God likeness. It is totally about self. And it makes the person put themselves as God. And that is a tremendously dangerous place to be. But that's what the sinner's paradise. It fuels off of sin. In the sinner's paradise, sin is big business. Corporate America commercializing sin and making a killing off of it. But the killing that you're making off of it is going to kill you that are over it and the people that are under it. And that's what you don't know, that there is a day of reckoning. Yah has determined, he said, the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles. He has a beginning and he has an end. Only Israel is for eternity. Only Yah's kingdom is without a beginning and without an ending. It is eternity from ever was to ever there will be. But the Gentiles was given a time. Whatever that time is, we don't necessarily know, but by the signs that are given in the scripture, we can determine that it is nearer than when we first believe, that it is soon to come. And that's what you don't know. So all that you risk in exchange for your soul, all that you prosper in exchange for your soul to bring this world into havoc in order that you can enjoy this paradise here that is an antichrist, that is in rebellion against God, that is in defiance against God, there is a day of reckoning for you corporate, for you politician, for you pastors, for you people, for all that oppose Yah. You got a day of reckoning with your creator. You're going to meet your maker. You best believe. So enjoy the pleasures of this world at the expense of your soul if you want to. So be it. But if I could speak to any of you, I would tell you, if you're not in the Lord and you have not considered, it is time for you to repent, to come out the wickedness and the evil that is invading the land and doing it at a degree that is getting God's attention, because they're thumbing their nose at God. They're perfecting sin like it has never been perfected, such that in some instances, unless you are the spirit of discernment, for those that are caught in lust and blinded by it or don't mind being with a man anyway, they got some women dressed now that can make that type of man think that he's dealing with a woman. And he won't even ask no questions. They're perfecting sin. It has come to its perfection. But it's only set up to meet its utter destruction that Yah is bringing. So, loved ones, have a mind of the Messiah and be always ready to repent. Examine yourself often and repent often when necessary. Take full advantage for the grace and love and mercy that Yah intended for us to have it, to use it for our salvation. Take care, loved ones.